You are now online with Andrea, with your host, Andrea Garrison.
Good afternoon. Welcome. You are now online with Andrea. I am your host, Andrea Garrison, and I'd like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. Our topic today is the book, The Awakening Human Being, A Guide to the Power of Mind. And our guest is author Barbara Berger. Hi there, Barbara. How are you? You awesome.
I'm really good. We have our own private joke here. We're both really, really, really good. And we are so, so happy that we are actually connected.
Well, I have to tell you, I love you and I love your work. And it's always a pleasure talking to you. And we had such a wonderful discussion the last time we talked.
We did.
So we're kind of kindred spirits, so we're hanging in here.
We both have the same powerful positive energy, so what can possibly go wrong, right?
Yeah. We should share our private diaries. Now that's an inside joke.
Exactly. An internet inside joke. For our lovely listeners, I am in Copenhagen, Denmark. So even though we're far away in body, we are close in spirit, Andrea and me.
Yeah, so we really are.
We really are. Yeah.
Now, this wonderful book of yours, you collaborated with your son, Tim Ray. Mm-hmm. So tell us what it is like working with your son, and what have you learned about yourself by teaming up with your son? And from what I understand, it's been a while, but still, what is it like working with your son?
It's just great. Actually, Tim and I, we've been working together for the last 20 years. So we have a business together. We have a publishing company we work with together. We both write books. We do courses, lectures, workshops together. We both do coaching. So we have a whole range of activities that we work on together. So we're both interested in the same things. We're passionate about the work that we're doing, so it's great. It's really, really great. And we complement each other actually very well, because I'm sort of a little bit too hasty sometimes, and he's a bit more cautious, so we balance each other very well. And if I make a decision that I haven't thought through, he'll say, maybe you want to reconsider. So it's a great teamwork. And as I told you previously, this book, The Awakening Human Being, we worked on it together because it's basically a presentation of the seminar material that we've been teaching for many, many years. It's sort of our basic Getting Real workshop, courses, lectures. It's all in this book, the practice and the principles that we work with. So even though I actually wrote the book, it's the material that's in the book is things that we have worked on and developed together. So, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. Now, one can say that happiness is the universal drive. We all want to be happy. So how do we experience the happiness we seek in the present moment without placing a condition on it?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I did read your book.
It sounds like something that would just come out of the mouth of Barbara Berger. So before we get started on this interesting exploration, I'd just like to talk about some basic principles, because this is going to be the platform for the discussion that we're going to have. And I would like to say that all the work that we do, Tim and I, and that we use in our coaching and in our teaching, it's based on observations of the nature of reality. In other words, the way this thing called life works. And these observations, I always say to people who come to lectures or to coaching or whatever, these observations, I would encourage you to notice and test them for yourselves. And once you can see that these principles or observations are true, then you will be able to use them to navigate more wisely in your life. So the basic platform or principle that I would like to present now is that there is something called reality. And by reality, I mean the things that are happening in your life, the events that are taking place, the people who are showing up, the circumstances, the conditions, all of that, that's what I mean by reality, what's going on. And then there is your thoughts about what's going on. And it is your thoughts, your thinking, your interpretation of what is going on that determines your experience. It's very important to understand this mechanism because most people today are still not awake, and this book is called The Awakening Human Being, are not awake yet to this mechanism. They believe that outside circumstances, events, people are the reason why they are happy or unhappy. This thing out there happened, and that's why I'm sad. Or he said that, and that's why I'm happy. I would like to suggest that we slow things down and we notice that there's an in-between stage, that there is our interpretation of what this person, event, circumstance means to us that determines our experience. And the way you can test this is if you take any situation, any circumstance, and you have 10 different people present, you will notice, if you look carefully, that you have 10 different experiences. That, in other words, that the people, different people experience the same event, the same circumstance in different ways. So if we can see that this is true, then we can begin to see that it is our thinking, the way we interpret events, that is the cause of our experience. So that's a long roundabout answer, but that's the answer to your question. What is it that determines our happiness right here, right now?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think about how many times over the years, and I'm sure this has happened to you as well, which is why you're doing the work that you do, as you constantly, I mean, if I had to count the number of times that someone has said to me, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. It's amazing how many times I've heard that from people over the years. And I wanted to share something with you that I was thinking about when I was listening to you speak. And I find that when I, you know, I might react to a situation or something someone said, and it may make me feel sad. But I've also found that I might feel sad about that particular comment or, you know, something that happened at a particular time. But I can immediately focus on something else that's happening. Like, you know, a bird flies by and I'll say, oh, isn't that a beautiful bird? And I'll smile and I'll be happy about that. So I still may not be thrilled about what the other person said, but my focus, I just change my focus.
Well, actually, what you're saying now is one of the most important, what I call the mental laws, the mechanism of mind. And that is what you focus your attention on grows in your experience. That's what you're talking about. And to put it into context, again, with our program and in the book here, The Awakening Human Being. The first part of this book is what I call the mental laws, and they are my scientific description of the mechanism of mind, how our minds work. Because again, in our search for happiness, understanding the way your mind works is the key to achieving that. And what you just said, Andrea, is one of the major, most important laws of mind, that what you focus your attention on, that's what you experience. And what you focus your attention on, you get more of. And as you say, there is a multitude in every single situation that you're in. There are many different ways you can focus. There are many different ways you can direct your attention. So this is a really, really powerful, important key to living a happy life. And the short version of what you just said is that in any situation, you could be problem-oriented or you could be solution-oriented. You could focus on whether it's a person, it's a work situation, it's a relationship problem, whatever. You could focus your attention on everything that can possibly go wrong, all the difficulties that could arise, or how terrible this, that, and the other is, and then you will attract and you will experience more of that. Or in the same situation, the reality has not changed, you could also focus your attention on all the possibilities that are here, all the good things about the situation, what the potential is here, and that will determine, again, the quality of your experience. So absolutely spot on your comment, your focus. That's the key.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You say that most people look for happiness in the wrong place.
Well, again, it is the problem is, again, that we still, again, in this whole book, The Awakening Human Being, the awakening that I'm describing is awakening to the mechanism of mind and consciousness. So when you look to outer circumstances to make you happy, you're looking in the wrong place, because that's not the cause. You are the cause. Your thinking is the cause. So you are looking in the wrong place. And again, I'm not saying that there are things in the outer that we prefer. I mean, we are all human beings, but to understand this mechanism, really, I have found the reason why I write all these books about it is it's just so liberating to understand the way your mind works. Because until you understand the mechanism of mind, you are actually an innocent victim of a mechanism that you don't know how to control. But when you start to understand the mechanism of mind, then you can become the master and you can determine your experience day by day so much more. I can see, for example, the people that I coach every day. I coach a lot of people every day, anything. The thrill, it's just such a constant thrill for me too, but the thrill of seeing people suddenly get this, when they really, really get it and they start to practice it in their lives, it's like, wow. And the changes that take place and the exaltation that they experience is just so, so delicious. So, I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, it's beautiful work, and that's why I was so excited about this book, and I'm looking forward to the next one as well. I wanted to read... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, actually, now that we're talking about the mental laws, I'd just like to say to our listeners that the first part of this book is, part one is called The Mental Laws, where I go through the mechanism of mind and describe it, as I was saying. And we have made an e-book out of just the beginning of this book. It's called The Mental Laws, and we are actually giving it away for free at the moment. So I would like to say to whoever's listening in, if you would like to read my detailed analysis of the way your mind works, you can go into our website, and you will see on the front page there's a link. You can click to it. And you can read about the book, and you can send us an email, and we'll send it to you, or I will give you our email. First, let me give you the website address. The website address is beamteam.com, BEAMTEAM.com.
I love that name, that's you know, Beam Team.
Well, that's Tim and me, the Beam Team.
I know, that's great. I love that.
But if you send us an email, info@beamteam.com, and if you just write the mental laws in the subject line, we will send you your free ebook within 24 hours, so you can read about the mental laws yourself.
Yeah,
so
that's beautiful.
I'd just like to say that. Yeah.
Now, I wanted to read, if you don't mind, a mm-hmm. page in your book, page 6. And it basically says, reality is what it is. I love that. The truth is, no matter what we do, reality is what it is. And we don't have a choice. It's not in our control. It is what it is. Life is what it is. One day it rains and the next day the sun shines. Do you have any control over that? You are breathing and your heart is beating. Do you have any control over that? Events and people appear before us and then they go away. Do you have control over that? Parents, partners, children, friends all come and go, and things happen, and life moves along quite on its own. Do you have any control over that? And there you are with this particular body doing all the stuff you do until the body gets sick or breaks down or gets old, and the breathing stops and the heart stops beating. And that, too, is the way of it. So what does any of this have to do with your expectations? Sometimes life delivers what you think you want and need, and sometimes it doesn't. But if you really watch what is going on, it becomes pretty obvious, pretty fast, that you're not the boss. No matter how hard you try, life does what it does, and you're not in control. And it doesn't matter how fit you are or how much money you have in the bank. Reality is what it is, and you're still not the boss. That is the way of it. And as for partners, it's the same. Sometimes we have nice partners and friends, and sometimes we don't. And when it comes to money, well, sometimes we have money in the bank, and sometimes we don't. And that, too, is the way of it. Just look around you and you will see that this is true for everybody. There are no exceptions to reality. No exceptions. I love that.
So what is it about that that you love?
I just, because it was, you know, as the term says, straight up. You know, reality is what it is, you know?
Yeah, that's why we call our thing getting real.
Right.
We call it getting real because the thing that we have found out is that when you get real about the way things are, then you actually have a better chance of navigating wisely in your life, and you have a better chance of living a happy life too, and especially this control thing that this is about. If you start to understand that you don't have control over all of these things that you just mentioned, then you can give it up and you can work on the one thing you do have control over, and that's your thinking.
Right.
So it's really, really a key thing to notice that everything is just going on. So the only question is, how are you relating to it? That's the only question. Your heart is beating? Great. Your heart is not beating? Great. Well, I mean, again, you don't have control. People come and go. Have you noticed that you don't have control?
Right.
Everybody who comes here wants to control their partner or their children or their parents, and I say, well, you've tried. How does that work?
Right.
It doesn't. So
yeah.
Control is, you know, we're resisting. We're resisting what is instead of saying, okay, that's not my job, obviously. How do I know it's not my job? I can't do it.
Right.
So.
And you go on to say that what I'm talking about here is our unrealistic expectations mm-hmm. to this thing we call life.
Mm-hmm.
And these unrealistic mm-hmm. expectations lead to trouble.
They do.
Yes. Because, as you say, yeah. and I love it, because life is what it is. I'm gonna have to do a book of Barbara Berger quotes.
Oh, I love that. Well, I always say, especially when people come to coaching sessions, that just the way you said it is so good, that there is this thing called reality, and then every person has their expectations. And the bigger the gap between your expectations and reality, the bigger the gap, the more stress you experience, the more unhappy you'll be. So, again, that's why we call our approach getting real. Waking up to the nature of reality is so liberating. Right. You know, you find out what you can do something about, then do it. And then you find out what you can't do anything about, drop it. I mean, it's just such a relief, because people are banging their head against the brick wall trying to change stuff that they cannot change.
Well, you know what's also interesting, what came to mind is, and I'm sure we've all seen this too, sometimes there are people who just seem to be happy. And people are like, well, what are they so happy about? Mm-hmm. And there are actually sometimes people out there who want to interfere with this person because they're not happy. So why should this person be happy? It's very interesting.
But it still comes back to the basic mechanism. I mean, you can find almost any situation on earth, and it's all relative. It depends on, I mean, some person will say this really sucks, and the other one will think this is terrific, and it's all relative, again, depending on your position in relation to what's going on.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, somebody can say, oh, it's terrible. I have a migraine headache. I think I used that example in this book. But if you compare it to somebody who's got terminal cancer, I mean, you say, okay, I might have a migraine headache, but I'm doing pretty good. It depends on what you compare it to.
Exactly.
So it's true of everything is real. So, but again, that's the whole thing about the mechanism of mind. Reality is what it is, but our position, our interpretation is, again, what determines our experience. So right. the sooner we get that one, I mean, it's just so liberating. So what is it about? The question is, what is it about my thinking? What is it about my focus? If you're not happy, that's the question to ask. What am I focusing my attention on? Why am I experiencing things the way I do? And that triggers a whole lot of other stuff coming up. In other words, it's important to understand that every human being, that consciousness that we are is pretty blank or innocent or whatever you want to call it when we're born. But each one of us is born into a specific family, a specific religion, a specific country, a specific neighborhood. And all of these things, we get programmed by our parents, by our schools, by all these belief systems that we get programmed with from a young age. They form what I call in the book our underlying belief systems. And they are very responsible for almost all of the ways in which we interpretate circumstances and situations. So when you start this work, when you start asking yourself, what is it about my focus here? Those are the things that start to come up. It's really a process. That's why I call this the awakening process, the awakening human being. It's not I'm going to think positive and that's the solution to everything. Even though that sounds really good and really easy, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah. So what about dreaming, setting goals and working towards them? Working towards positive change and contributing to making the world a better place. I mean,
absolutely. All good. It's all good. Again, it's how to do it. It's not if we should do it. It's how to do it in the best way. How can you best I mean, again, and that's also part of this process, a realistic assessment of who you are, where you are, what are your unique talents, as you said in the beginning of the show, what can you do today to make your contribution? I'm a great believer in that, and I think that that's part of the secret of living a happy life. The impulse to serve and to be a benefit is, I mean, that's love in action. That's our nature. So, again, as far as I can see, the more you can clean up your own act, the better your energy is, the more in harmony you are with who you really are, the more your unique talents and gifts will come to the fore, and the more you will be energized to act in appropriate ways wherever you are in your life. So I mean, that's so important.
So let's talk a little bit about unrealistic expectations, because there may be people who really aren't, you know, who are not certain about what an unrealistic expectation is. And then what's the difference between unrealistic expectations and hope? What's the difference between the two?
Okay, so let's just take unrealistic expectations in a relationship. The biggest problem is when a person expects their partner to behave in a certain way so that they can be happy. That's an unrealistic expectation that really, really is problematic in most relationships. So when you believe that your happiness depends on another person's behavior, you always lose. Because if we go back to, again, we have to look at the nature of reality. We have to look at this thing called life and analyze that first before we can understand this whole thing about unrealistic expectations. So if we go back to another basic principle, and that is, I started talking about before, that each one of us is a consciousness that comes into the world and is programmed by our family, our background, our religion, our school, all of these things. So each one of us has a unique mix of ways of thinking and interpreting life. So you're Andrea, you have your background, and you have your thoughts and emotions based on the way you were brought up, the kind of parents you had, where you went to school, all of the million different things have formed you to the woman you are today. And the same goes for me. I have my background, I have my parents, the way I was brought, but this is true of every single human being. So in that way, it's really important to understand that each one of us is a separate unit in the field of consciousness. And then the next thing to notice that's really important here is that you can't get inside of another person's head. In other words, you can't get inside of my head and think for me or feel for me. And I can't get inside of your head and think for you and feel for you. So we're separate in that way. Again, these are observations that it's really important for us to notice. So that means that when another person says or does anything, it's really a reflection of who they are, what their belief system is, the way they've been brought up. So the whole thing is it has something to do with them. Okay? Are you with me? So far, so good?
Wonderful. I just love listening to you.
Okay, so far, so good. So these basic principles, in other words, to answer your question about what goes on in relationships where they get so screwy. So if I believe that this lovely person who's my partner, that my happiness depends on what he says or what he does or what he thinks, I'm basing my own well-being on something which is completely out of my control. And again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be together with people who, you know, like we have common values and we have shared interests and we treat each other with respect. I'm not talking about any of that. Those are all important ingredients in good relationships. But the basic idea that someone else's thinking and feelings is responsible for my happiness, that's where it gets so screwy, because it's something that's out of our control.
And it also places pressure, doesn't it, on the other person.
Absolutely. And well, that's and what
sometimes,
you mean by...
Right, and sometimes that pressure is hard for them to handle and can even push them away, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's the unrealistic expectation, that if you will behave in a certain way, I'll be happy. I need you to be like this so that I can feel good. You can hear it when I say it like that. It's completely screwy.
Yeah.
So that's an unrealistic expectation that another person should fulfill that, should do that job, which is your job. And again, I'm not saying that we can't do stuff together. I'm not saying we can't share good times. But when you make another person responsible for you, that's unrealistic.
Yeah. Now, you also say that life does not send suffering. Life just is.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people that might have difficulty understanding that.
Well, we need to define what we mean by suffering, first of all. So again, all of these terms are relative. And suffering, if you would say generally, it really is resisting what is. Because if you couldn't resist what is, you couldn't suffer. And the other thing, so let's just take that slow, because that's a really mind-boggling concept. Because we have all these ideas, again, we're talking about belief systems, that this is bad and this is good. That if I don't get what I want here, that's why I suffer. But they're all just mental concepts. Because, again, reality is what it is, and we're resisting. The moment that we are resisting what is, we suffer.
So are you saying that we should remove judgment? You know, we're too quick to say this is good and this is bad.
Well, the thing is, we all have our preferences. And that's, you know, certain things that are, you know, are more in harmony with you and things that you're interested in. That's fair enough. But again, judgment is something else. That's this good or bad thing, right and wrong. And again, if you look at reality, the nature of reality, there is no, I mean, everything that is existing is existing. It is what it is. But we have our value judgments about what's good and bad. And that's also what's so, so very difficult for most people. We have this idea that there's some kind of arbitrary standard that nobody can quite figure out what it is. But again, so it gets very complicated, this about judgments.
But you know, we're raised that way. So, and I'm
exactly.
The title of your book, The Awakening, because we're born, you know, and taught these judgments.
Absolutely.
We're taught that our happiness depends on this and that.
Mm-hmm.
So it truly is an awakening, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To realize that it isn't all of that. It is just what it is. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's mind-boggling. It really is. It's like, whoa, dude, you know, that, again, it's so true what you just said. We're all programmed. And how is this serving us? It's the question of, in what way am I limiting my experience of the radiance of life in this moment? I mean, that's what judgments often do.
Yeah.
And again, if we go back to our true nature is, you know, that we are life itself. And what is life itself? Life itself, you could say, is unconditional support. I mean, life supports everything that is here. I mean, the so-called good and the bad, the evil, and everything is here. So life itself is unconditional support, and you could say that's what love is.
Beautiful.
And so that when we get in touch with that, we actually We already are that. We are the love that we seek. We are the happiness that we seek. But because we have been programmed with all these judgments, we lose contact with our own essence. And that's actually, in my view, the cause of our unhappiness. We think that we're seeking happiness out there. But as far as I can see, the happiness we seek is already in us. We are the happiness we seek. We are the love that we seek. But we've lost the connection because of the faulty programming.
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful. I love that. You are already the happiness you seek. Another quote from Barbara Berger. And I had highlighted that, I want you to know. Because,
isn't that a cool thing?
Yes.
Just think about what you. I mean, if we could just get a whiff of that, how
right.
cool is that? That we are already the happiness that we seek, that we've already got it. So again, I always say that the whole mission, as far as I'm concerned, and what I teach and what I coach people in, is not to teach you anything new. It's to help you unlearn all the things. All the faulty programming, all the judgments, all the things that are blocking you from experiencing your true nature. And I mean, when we start to get a whiff of that, again.
So how did you do that? How did you get it? I mean, because you were programmed like all of us, right? You and your son.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I would say the number one... Again, back to one of your other questions, the number one motivation is suffering. Unfortunately, that's how it's all hangs together in my view. When the pain gets to be intense enough, that's when we start to ask questions. We don't generally, you know, like when we're zipping along and everything's going pretty well and we're sort of pretty okay and that doesn't really unfortunately, that's sort of the human condition, human nature. But when it's really, ow, that's when people start to start searching. I know, for example, because I work with people every day. When the new ones come in the door, I know they don't come to me because everything is perfect and they're super happy. They come to me because they have some issue, some crisis, some problem, something that's really, really painful for them. They sit down, they cry, they tell me their stuff, but I know in advance that this, whatever it is that brought them to my door, is also the blessing, because it's so painful for them now that they're reaching out to someone and asking for help, and they're actually willing to start looking within, or otherwise they wouldn't come to me, and that's the key.
Yeah.
And therefore, I know that this person, that this is the moment where the transformation is going to begin, and it's always correct. Always correct.
And it must be beautiful to see that, to see the transformation.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
I love what I do.
Yeah, it is beautiful. So how do we dissolve negative thoughts? How do we do it?
It's not so much that we're going to dissolve it, but we have to investigate them. So the first part of this book, The Awakening Human Being, is about the mental laws, the way the mind works, what you focus your attention on, all these basic principles. That's in the beginning. But in the second part of the book, it's the practical application of how do you actually do it, how do you actually apply these principles to improve your life and your daily life. And so I divide it up into two kinds of tools. The one are focus tools, and the other are investigation tools. And the question that you're asking, so how do we dissolve the programming? The investigation tools are really useful for this. So in other words, we need to be able to question. First of all, we have to be able to identify
right.
The programs, the thought patterns. We have to be able to identify what we're actually thinking in a situation where we're feeling miserable. What have I got going on here? And then slowly, slowly, we have to deconstruct the thought patterns and try to find out, does this have any relation to reality? Is this serving me well? How did I get this belief? It's a very fascinating work. So when I sit with people In the beginning, they sometimes get irritated with me because I go really slow and I say, okay, so you've got this situation that's bothering you. So what is it about this situation that's bothering you? And then they'll come with their whole thing. And it's often, for example, people who have what I call catastrophic thinking, for example. That's one that I can usually start with people. So in other words, people, they have an interpretation about whatever is going on that's pretty dramatic, pretty catastrophic. You know, it's like this thing happened and it's the end of the world for me. And so that's an interpretation, a belief there that you have to sort of say, so, okay, is it true? Is this the end of you? Is it so? So just the sort of adjustment factor already there, people start to feel better. Okay, yeah, maybe it's true. It's not so nice. And, I'm really having difficulties with the situation. But I'm a pretty smart person, and I do have a lot of resources, and I have a network, and I have friends, and I'll probably figure it out. So slowing down the mechanism of mind and looking at what we've got going on up here, that in itself is so liberating. Yeah. To most people.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And then you also say, a lot of people say they want love, and you say, mm-hmm. be the love you want to experience. I love that. You want love, true, give it, right? I guess it's...
Exactly.
I mean, that's beautiful. And but see, and also, it seems simple, but...
But it's also based on another mental law, and that is that like attracts like. So again, when you know the laws of the universe, the way things work, you understand that what you're putting out, you're going to get back.
Beautiful.
I mean, again, if you start to notice that. Like I like to think about, like each one of us is sort of like a radio tower, and we're sending out a signal, and whatever signal we're sending out, we're going to attract things that match it. In other words, people that match it, or circumstances, events, situations that match the signal that we're sending. And I would encourage everyone to notice people around them. You can very quickly determine, I mean, for example, we all know when we meet someone who's really angry. I mean, it's a special energy. People who are always complaining and angry about things, and they have that, ooh. But if you notice people who have that frequency, who have that energy, they actually have a lot to complain about because they attract things that confirm their view. And then we also know people who are very fearful, right? And they attract a lot of things to be afraid of. And then we know people who are very positive or inspiring or who are filled with love. And if we notice what they attract, they also attract people and circumstances that match what they're sending out. So it's really, really interesting, the whole thing, when we start to really notice what's going on here. And mm-hmm. you can even do that exercise with yourself in the course of a day. Or take different days. If you start to notice the days that you wake up where you really have good energy, where you're really feeling, you know, love, and you're excited about a project or you're excited about somebody you're going to meet, that, and then you sort of send that frequency out before you into that day, the things that you attract, the people that you meet, are so much better than the day where you get up grumpy. And where you feel, you know, like shit, and nothing's going to work out for me, and it's we're the center of the universe, each one of us, doing all this stuff.
Yeah, beautiful. So, let's talk about gratitude. How important is gratitude?
Well, gratitude is, again, one of the shortcuts to living a happy life. I mean, again, if we go back to this with the frequencies, the higher frequencies, the good vibrations, if you want to call it love, enthusiasm, appreciation, gratitude, all of it when you're really passionate about things. So gratitude is like love. It's the highest frequency of all. So it, in my view, it's the shortcut. The more time you can spend on gratitude, I always give the exercise to people, and I think it's in this book too, to do gratitude lists and to make lists of all the things that I mean, again, if you think about our lives, we have so much to be grateful for that we take for granted. And if we understand that the focus of our attention determines our experience, if you think about we human beings, we're really, really strange creatures. We wake up in the morning and we have a million things we can be grateful for. And what do? With our focus? We focus on the one or two things that are not going completely the way we want them to. I mean, it's not a really intelligent strategy.
Yeah, because regardless of what is in front of you or what you're dealing with at the moment, there's always wonderful things happening in your life.
But again, and when I talk about gratitude, I mean, like when I say to people, I give it as an exercise. I always give people lots of homework when they come to me. But making a gratitude list, I say to people, take a piece of paper and write on the top of the paper, I am thankful for. And then I say, you got to do in detail, you know, I'm really grateful because I've got food in my refrigerator. I'm grateful because I have a lovely computer. I'm grateful because I have a hot shower. I'm grateful because I can see and I can hear and I can walk and I can talk. I mean, all of this stuff, this basic stuff that we just think, you know, like we take it for granted. But if you actually slow it down and think about how amazing it is, the abundance that we have of, I mean, just think about our bodies, all that we can do, just that. I mean, you can go completely, you can get yourself totally ecstatic thinking about that.
Yeah.
You can actually see.
It's beautiful.
If you can walk, that you can talk, that you can hear. I mean, or just think about you and me now. You're on one side of the planet, I'm on the other side, and we've got this amazing technology that we can actually talk, you and I.
Right.
How cool is that? So again, even if we have our so-called issues, I would encourage everyone to spend more time on the good stuff because the focus of your attention determines how you experience life.
Right. And you know what I love in your book where you talk about on page 104, what it takes to eat my breakfast. Now, how's that for getting down?
And then that's really, really one of those exercises. Again, that's the whole deal there. Exactly. When you think about what it takes to eat our breakfast, just think about it. Where did the eggs come from? Where does the milk come from? Where does the cheese come from? Where does the cereal come from? Where does the fruit come from? I mean, we got the whole universe in our breakfast. We need the sunshine. We need planet Earth. We need the good earth. We need the farmers. We need the truckers to bring it to. I mean, it's all interconnected, what it takes to eat our breakfast. You got it all there.
Yeah, beautiful. And meditation. Why is meditation so important?
Well, meditation, again, if we go back to the beginning of what we were talking about, to understand the mechanism of consciousness and mind, meditation is one of our quickest routes, best tools. And again, if you read the mental laws in the beginning of this book, I talk about sitting quietly, doing nothing, and witnessing consciousness, the mind. That's how we learn all this stuff. How else can we do it if we don't notice and watch?
Yeah.
So meditation is being present here now and noticing. It's really, really difficult for most of us to do. We are so busy. We are so out of focus. We are so hung up on what's going on in the external that we lose contact with the most basic and most important thing of all, and that is who am I? What am I? What is this thing called life?
Yeah.
So that's meditation. It's really important.
Beautiful. And you talk about, I mean, there's so much in the book. People mm-hmm. really should read the book. Contemplating the nature of reality, contemplating love. And I love this term. I've heard the term unconditional love, of course, but then unconditional happiness. I love that.
Well, again, that's what we're talking about. Again, that the problem is, again, that when our happiness is based on outer circumstances living up to our expectation, that's conditional. And I'm not saying that we can't, you know, take pleasure in, you know, good things that happen to us. But it's important to understand that that's conditional. In other words, you know, I got a good book contract, or you had a great radio show. I mean, these are good things. We like that, and that makes us happy. But it's based on these conditions, and it's fair enough, and we should notice that. But when I talk about unconditional happiness, I'm really talking about our deepest nature. Again, we go back to what I said before, that we are the love that we seek, that we are the happiness that that's who we are to begin with. It's not based on, there's no reason for it. It just is. And again, that ties in with meditation, being present, noticing who you are. Again, where is this unconditional happiness?
Yeah.
It has to be here and now, because that's all there is, and that is what we are. So again, it's all this mind stuff that actually confuses us and leads us away from experiencing the unconditional beingness, happiness, our true nature, the unconditional love that we are. All of these things, it's right here. It's us.
Yeah. Well, I want to read another portion of your book. It's just, there's so many. I'm trying to see how many pages it is. It's about 200 pages, but I mean, there's a lot of important information. It just says, most of the time we just argue with reality and feel bad. And since we just don't see what we're doing, we think life is doing it to us. But it's not. We're doing it to ourselves. We're the ones who are making ourselves feel bad. And this is what most of us do most of the time. And it goes like this. We think people should be different than they are. And then we wonder why we have such a hard time getting along with them. We think life should be different than it is. And then we wonder why we feel that life is such a struggle. We think our bodies should look and feel different than they are. And then we are unkind to ourselves and beat ourselves up instead of taking good care of ourselves and nurturing ourselves. We think our parents and children should be different than they are. And then we wonder why it hurts so much to be in their company. And we think our partners should be different too. And everyone knows what that gets you. The battle with reality hurts. Resisting reality hurts. It really does. And who does it hurt? You, me, us. So this is why I say, if you want to live a happy life, it's a good idea to investigate all the stories and beliefs you have that argue with reality. Write down your beliefs and question them and find out if they are true. Find out if there's any reality to them at all. Find out where you are resisting life. Find out where your thoughts are out of harmony with what is. And just notice what you find. And then see what happens to your life. So powerful from your book.
It's really true. It's really, really true then. And it's my experience anyway. So
it's
that
beautiful.
Is the mechanism of mind. So.
And then you talk about, I love your book, obviously. Now,
thank you.
Now you talk about, just in case you've forgotten, with some of the stuff you've written, right?
Right.
I just want to
remind
you.
Yeah,
those wonderful quotes came from your book. Now, you also talk about the importance of service.
Absolutely. But again, so if we go back to our true nature, so we are, again, we are the love that we seek. But what does love do? Again, so service is love in action. We are manifested in these physical bodies. So we're activity is part of the deal here. Again, activity and rest. But what kind of activity? So service is, it comes from the heart. Service is again, you had it in the beginning of your show. It's a joy when we feel good. So that's the one thing. It's natural for a healthy human being to serve. But the other thing I found out is that people who are actually have problems or have difficulties, some kind of service is also a really, really a good kind of medicine, because it takes the focus away from themselves. So it's a twofold thing. And one is, it's, if you're feeling really good, it's a natural impulse to serve. But if you're not feeling so good, it's good for you too. So I often encourage people to do some kind of volunteer work or do some hours a week where they help somebody because people who are really occupied with their own misery, when they focus their attention on somebody else or helping somebody else, that can be also really, really a good thing to do, really uplifting and freeing. So yeah, service, important thing.
It's beautiful. And you say, when we understand this, we can also see that the world will never change until we change. That is why if we really and truly want to work for a better world, a world that is the embodiment of the peace and love we all desire, the best place to start is with making peace within yourself. How could it be otherwise? How can you expect the world to be a world of peace and beauty and tolerance and grace and love if you yourself are a seething cauldron of fear, anger, confusion, and anxiety? How could it happen? Where should the love come from if not from you? When you understand this, you see that you're the one. You're the one who has to change the world. Yes, you're the one. So work on yourself, and amazingly enough, you will discover that as you change, your world will change too. Just beautiful. And in this way, you can see that by doing inner work and becoming clear, by working with your own thoughts and beliefs, you are changing the way you interact with and influence the world around you. As you change, as you wake up to reality and become a kinder, more peaceful and loving person, your interactions with all the people you meet changes. And this, in turn, influences them and their thoughts and ways of interacting with other people, which in turn influences your community and, yes, your world. I love that.
And I think that this is a really good place for us to say
yes.
Thank you.
It's just wonderful. I wanted to ask you, do you have anything to share that we haven't covered, and any closing reflections at all?
Well, I think that, again, I'd like to say what I said in the beginning, that the mental laws in the first part of this book, we have made it into a free ebook. And that if you send us an email, we'll send you this free ebook so that you can read in detail the things that you and I have been talking about. And our website is beamteam.com, BEAMTEAM.com, and you can send us an email at info@beamteam.com, and we'll send you the ebook so that you can share this information. Because, again, understanding the way our minds work and how we've been programmed. This is the key to finding this joy, freedom, and happiness, which is our true nature and which we're all seeking. So I'm so thrilled that I got the opportunity to share this information with you, Andrea, and with all of your wonderful listeners. I really feel blessed.
Yeah, it's always a blessing talking to you. I've been smiling the entire time. You've given me so much. I'm telling you, the book, because I was excited about it when you told me about it, and I enjoyed reading it. And it's so insightful. You're such a beautiful soul. And I look forward to your next book because you have another
one.
Yeah,
my next book is called Find and Follow Your Inner Compass.
Ah.
Instant guidance in an age of information overload. So it's a really good continuation of this discussion.
Right.
And it will be coming out this summer in July. It's already up on Amazon actually for pre-order. And I will send you a copy, my dear.
Thank you, darling.
And, and we'll have another good chat about all of these most exciting things. So I'm sending you thanks, blessings, and also to all of our listeners.
Thank you so
much.
Be
the change that you want to be.
Beautiful
in the world.
Thank you so much, Barbara Berger.
Thank you, my dear. Bye-bye.
Take care. I would like to thank our guest, Barbara Berger, for being here to discuss her book, The Awakening Human Being, A Guide to the Power of Mind. For more information, visit beamteam.com, and that's BEAMTEAM. .com. I would like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. To each and every one of you out there, thank you so much for joining me, Andrea Garrison, and connecting here online with Andrea. Listen to me live or listen to the archive. Just continue connecting heart to heart. But in the meantime, do whatever you can to reach out to help others and never underestimate the power of a friendly smile. Take care.
Thank you for connecting to Online with Andrea with your host, Andrea Garrison.